make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you're too arrogant. If you don't change your ways, I will rise up and break the backbone of your power, and I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name. Be still and know that I'm God. The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home. Though the civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration, that's their business. But I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. preaching about righteousness. And this Wednesday, August the 28th, 2013, is the 50th anniversary of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. Now, welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, coming at you from Skid Row Studios with my co-host, Earlene Anthony. Our call-in number is 800-893-9562. Listen to us live or download our show and any past show by Googling in skidrow.la and hit Qumran Report. Now, this week on the Qumran Report, we will be talking to Lynn Manning, artistic director of the Watts Village Theater. But first, I would like to update you on the prison hunger strike that is protesting long-term solitary confinement, which is torture. Anytime you have an individual living in a little small space the size of a bathroom, 22 and a half hours out of a day, some of them up to 15 and 20 years, that is torture. And Ms. Earlene Anthony is going to update us on that.
In solidarity with the prison hunger strike in California and elsewhere, there will be a demonstration and a separate civil disobedience action by people prepared to risk arrest. Because of the urgent need for action to get Governor Brown and the state of California to meet the hunger strikers' five core demands before the strikers suffer permanent damage or worse from their ongoing strike. The protest will denounce the threatened force feeding as torture. It will take place at the CDCR parole office on 24th Street in South Alameda, just south of downtown Los Angeles, 2444 South Alameda Street, Los Angeles, California, 958, on Friday, August the 30th. A near culmination of Black August at 4 p.m. Some of whose prison chapter members are involved in the strike and by the Intercommunal Solidarity Committee. Co-sponsors and endorsers are welcome to join in or take similar action at other CDCR parole offices around Southern California and the state of California in order to magnify the impact. For more information, contact the Black Writers at 323-289-4457 or blackwriters1996@gmail.com or the Intercommunal Solidarity Committees at 323-636-7388.
Okay, that's about the hunger strike that began on July the 8th, 2013, which is Black Writers is supporting Michael Novak, and this is day 50, and we will keep you updated. This is day 50 of the hunger strike. Now, before we move over to our in-studio guest, I have on the line writer-director Darryl Phillips, who has a reading of his new play, Filthy Rags, tomorrow night, Tuesday, August the 27th, 2013, at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Vortex, which is located at 2341 East Olympic Boulevard, L.A. 290021. The meet and greet would be at 7 o'clock p.m. with music by Willis and Shantae. Darryl, welcome to the Coonrod Report.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, Darryl.
Yeah. Hey, can you tell our listening audience the name of the play and what is it about?
The play is called Filthy Rags. And it wouldn't be possible without the help of Melvin, Ishmael Johnson, and Erlene Anthony. They've been wonderful, and they worked so hard. I really appreciate their help. And we've got a great cast, including Toyin Moses, Carrie Fox, Victor Dickerson, Julian Pollock, and Giovanna Depo. And this play was developed in conjunction with the Roby Theater Company's Playwright Workshop over the past 3 years. And Dean Gilley, the artistic director, and the dramaturgs are Aaron Henney and Dylan Southard. And the play is about relationships and what you can learn from someone you dislike. And it's basically about a black woman who decides she's going to visit a white man in prison and try to help him. And in each scene, they reveal something about themselves, and secrets are revealed. And it's kind of like an onion being peeled back, and more is revealed in each scene. There's a lot of secrets and mysteries revealed. And it deals with relationships and people who have nothing in common and who are brought together by fate. Mm-hmm. And I hope it's inspirational. I hope it spurs dialogue.
Mm-hmm. All right. And also you got Blair's involved with the cast too, right?
Yes.
Okay. And what else?
Blair Chandler's the narrator, yes.
Mm-hmm. And one other little quick thing before we let you go. You were just recently seen in the Rover production of Bronzeville. Can you quickly talk about your role? Talk a little about your role in Bronzeville.
I was honored to be a part of Bronzeville at the Roby Theater at LATC this past summer. And it's a very moving play. I played three different roles. I played a drunk at a bar, which I usually play and anything comes along. And I played a redneck cop and an FBI agent. And I was very honored to be a part of it. It was a great production. I had a lot of fun. Always working with Ben Gilley, Gilley is a joy to work with.
Mm-hmm. And John stage manager?
Yes.
Okay. We hope to see you over there tomorrow, and we saw the rehearsal last week. It looked pretty good. Looking forward to it. And Darryl, thank you very much, and looking forward to seeing you tomorrow over at the Vortex.
Thank you, Melvin and Erlene.
You're welcome.
You
bye-bye.
All right. Okay, now I'm delighted to have with us in the studio Lynn Manning. In 1996, Lynn co-founded the Watts Village Theater Company in partnership with the late actor and community activist Quentin Drew. The company develops and produces new plays of relevance to the underserved Afro-Latino community of Watts and South Los Angeles. Lynn is currently the chair of the board of directors of the Watts Village Theater Company. He is also the president of the Firehouse Theater Company, which is dedicated to including artists with disability in all aspects of the theatrical performing arts. Lynn's most produced play to date is his autobiography solo play, Waits. Center Theater Group original 2001 productions of Waits garnered 3 NAACP Theater Awards, including Best Actor for Lynn. His television credits include a variety of commercials as well as appearances on Seinfeld, Nip and Tuck, 8 Simple Rules, Dream On, and The Sinbad Show. Lynn, welcome to the Coonrod Report.
Thank you for having me, Melvin. Happy to be here.
It's a pleasure.
I need to update that bio you have there.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I'm no longer chair of the theater company. I am now the artistic director. Mm-hmm. I stepped away from the chair and become an employee of the company now.
Yes.
I'm also no longer president of the Firehouse Theater Company. It's in the process of being liquidated. That company is, the artistic director is no longer going to run that company, and the board is dissolving, and they're dissolving its nonprofit status. So unfortunately, it will no longer be producing work.
Okay.
But Watts Village Theater Company is on and popping.
Oh, that's great. And we're going to talk about it. But can you tell our listening audience about your background? How did you get off into writing and acting and directing, et cetera, like that?
I'm it's a roundabout sort of way I come to theater. Originally, I was I should say just to start off that I'm, for the audience members that probably don't know, I'm totally blind. I haven't been blind all my life. I was shot in a bar by a stranger in Hollywood at the age of 23. Prior to that, I grew up in South Central. What was South Central, I guess, has been rebranded as South Los Angeles now. And from a family of nine, and that eventually was spread throughout the city and foster homes and all. And I grew up, half of my childhood in poverty and the other half in middle class foster homes. But throughout all of that, visual arts were my love and passion, and I had dreams of being, the next Ernie Barnes or Black Salvador Dali or something. the incident, the shooting, brought that dream to a close. But having been one who had been very much familiar with loss and recovering from loss, I had always had my second love had always been literary arts. So I turned to literature straight out of the hospital and pursued that to writing short stories and my biography and all of that, and poetry. Now, once I started to get poems published, I was required invited to participate in readings of the work at various venues as publications came out, and literary magazines around town would bring me in. And I had suffered great stage fright as a kid, never did enjoy speaking in front of people. So I urged other of the poets there to read my work for me, because my excuse was I can't read it from the page, and I can't read it from Braille fast enough to read it out loud, and I can't, I don't have it memorized. But the people just wrecked my work. So I figured if ever I wanted my work to deliver like it, like I wanted it delivered, I'd better start doing that myself. So I put forth the effort to memorize the work, because I memorized poetry and songs from, my childhood that had nothing to do with my own creation. So I should be able to do that with my own creation. So I did that and delivered the work at these readings in the way that I wanted, them to be delivered, and I got this great audience response. So, it's like I wanted more of that. I got enamored of the audience performer dynamic and pursued that with great gusto. I looked into acting classes. I got some acting classes over at the Burrell Institute at the time that I sought was considering these, making this search, a woman who had been a casting director for Francis Ford Coppola's Godfather series, and way back Playhouse 90 and the original Twilight Zone shows, Ethel Winant had lost her sight and went blind, and had taken classes and training there at Brill, and volunteered to teach an acting class and bring some of her industry friends in to help. And so by the luck of timing and the draw, I got into those classes, and I played sighted characters from as diverse as Sergeant Waters and Soldier's Play and Stanley Kowalski and Streetcar Named Desire. And so I did all sorts of sighted roles decided at the time that since I was writing, that the next natural thing for me to do would be to try to write a play of my own. So I jumped into that. And at that time, a woman, Irene Oppenheim, who is currently the artistic director, has been the artistic director of the Firehouse Theater Company from way back then. This was in 1990. Putting together a workshop for writers with disabilities to write plays based on themes taken from King Lear. And these were going to be produced by Firehouse Theater Company. So Ethel Winant got me into that workshop. Irene dramaturged me through the creation of my first play, a play called Shoot, that I wrote about a blind man who buys a gun to even up the odds on the city streets of L.A. Mm. And it's funny, it's tragic, it was a hit. From that point forward, I was hooked on playwriting and on the way. In fact, that play got me my first Dramalogue Critics Award for playwriting, and it also got me engaged and involved with the Center Theater Group's playwrights workshops over there. Their Mentor Playwrights Workshop and their Blacksmiths Workshop, where I, really honed my playwriting tools and eventually became an artist in residence there back in the late 90s, where I directed workshops for people with disabilities who are to write plays and solo pieces to perform themselves.
Mm-hmm. What's Shoot? Was that a one-man show?
No, Shoot was a three-character piece. In fact, through Shoot that I first met John Freeland Jr., who actually played opposite me in that as my brother.
Oh, John.
Yeah, so that was way back in 91 when it was my first paid acting gig. John came on to play the character Charles, which is my brother, who almost gets shot by me in that play. That play has been included in an anthology of work called Beyond Victims and Villains, Contemporary Plays by Disabled Playwrights.
Mm-hmm.
It's gets a lot of use in schools, and particularly schools that are engaged in disability studies.
Mm-hmm. Is it a one act?
Yeah, it's a one act.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this, Lynn. What is your process for learning lines?
I generally take a play. If it's not digitized, I'll scan it into my computer or have someone read it to tape. Now, someone reads it to a digital recorder. I don't use tape anymore. But what I do is have it read to a digital format where I can play it back as often as I want to at whatever speed I want to. And I start to learn the words that way, and I recite along with the lines as I listen. And I can do this, while doing, dishes or riding the exercise cycle or whatever activity I'm engaged in at the time. And what I eventually do is record it in my own voice for myself. And then it's almost like singing with yourself, mm-hmm. But it's a process of repetition and getting the rhythm that I want onto the recorded format, and then it becomes a process of learning or memorization through really the rhythm of the language as much as the language itself. So under those circumstances, I usually put in the cue line that someone else has given mm-hmm. me if I'm doing a piece where there are other characters, and then I follow it with my lines. And eventually I get it locked down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you tell our listening audience about the Watts Village Theater, the history, the beginning, et cetera, like that?
Yeah, the Watts Village Theater Company is, it's been a passion of mine. It was actually my late friend Quentin Drew. I really came to know him through a production that we worked on together in Watts that was done as part of a Cornerstone Theater Company residency in Watts back in 1995. And they do, they take classic plays and have someone do an adaptation of that play adapted to or for or around the community in which they're producing the work. So they were producing this at the WLCAC in Watts, and they wanted a play, a bridge play. This is like their culminating main event that would bring the communities, the Latino community, and the African-American community there together in this grand production. So they wanted me to adapt. They hired me to adapt the original play is Bertolt Brecht's Caucasian Chalk Circle. Mm-hmm. And so I came up with Central Avenue Chalk Circle, Central Ave Chalk Circle, and created a play based on that, and it was a beautiful experience, because Cornerstone does a thing where they use the professional actors and community actors, people who may have never acted before. Young children who may have never acted before but want to give it a shot, and they engage these people in the production as well. So I had to write characters for a broad spectrum of performers with a variety of skills, so that experience, that play, I ended up performing in it as well as writing it. That play was such an uplifting experience that, we wanted to continue a presence for theater in Watts Cornerstone generally likes to try to leave a little nest egg if there are people in the community that want to try to keep something going, they'll give some assistance. So we did that. We set out to keep theater in Watts, and from that, Watts Village Theater Company was born. Mm-hmm. It was original work was really basic. We did workshops in the housing projects out there, talent show workshops, where young people were taught performance and taught poetry and taught some general theatrical skills. And we got a collection of writers, people I knew that I brought in that were, poets and playwrights. And we created, we had our first production for at the Watts Towers Gallery, inside the Watts Towers Gallery, for Juneteenth in 1996. So that was our inaugural production. We've been at it for 17 years now. Unfortunately, Quentin Drew passed away in 05 from kidney cancer at age of 42. But we almost lost the company at that time because he was the artistic director and really the visionary of the company. His love for the community and his charisma and that really brought the company. The different disparate members of the company together and kept us on point to fulfill that vision. But we managed to bring on another managing artistic director and Guillermo Avalos Rodriguez. And I was board chair, and we did what was necessary, along with our managing director, Damian Tico Perrin, to rescue the company and keep it producing, keep it reaching out and engaging in the main, a really significant part of what we do is we do outreach to Watts or South LA area schools where we, when we have the support necessary, we send artists into the schools to teach theater and to like currently we have a program to with Animal Watts Green Dot School out in at Locke, where we do after school production. We take a group of students, we hold auditions, ones that want to be engaged, and we bring them through the whole process of auditioning for our roles, parts in the play, and even the development of a new work. This year we did a development of a new work from the ground up and then took that to full production where they performed it for their peers in the day, and they had a weekend of performances for public and family. It was quite phenomenal. It was called Unlocked, and we will be posting some footage of that on the internet soon.
Let me ask you this, Lynn. The Watts Village Theater, do you see that as a bridge between a better relationship between the African-American community and the Latino community?
I certainly do. At least that is what our main focus has been for the last 10 years at least. We have done work that involves, we mainly focus on original work. We try to develop, commission or find new work by contemporary playwrights and that address issues of concern to the community. And particularly, we've been about the creation of work that addresses issues between the Latino and African American communities, particularly because the demographics of Watts have changed over the last 30 years, from predominantly black community to predominantly brown community. And oftentimes what gets and has been focused on have been the clashes between the two communities. And we want to produce work that demonstrates that that is not an inevitable necessity, and that there have been points in our history when we've worked together quite harmoniously towards the same goals. So we did a production. I wrote a play called The Unrequited, which was we collaborated with Cornerstone Theater Company to produce this in Watts in 2011, and it was a play that was took place in 1933 during the Depression. It was adapted from what had been another play called The Dybbuk. Which had to do with a possession and the Kabbalah and Hasidic Jewish traditions in Eastern Europe. Well, I took that and put that in Watts in 1933, and when the community was more then like it is now, it was more Latinos. Than African Americans and quite a few whites, Italians and Japanese in the Watts community at that time. So I was able to have this multicultural cast come to life and do this piece. We did I wrote another play for our company in 2009, that was called Ochre and Onyx, the Langston Hughes Project, and it was a piece that centered around the a young hip hop poet who had African American hip hop poet who had some real animosity for Latinos because of an incident, because her brother lost his life in a gang-related shooting. And she is befriended by a young girl who's actually biracial. And through interaction with her and learning about the history of her poetic hero, Langston Hughes, learning that Langston Hughes had spent very formative years and 19 and 20 in Mexico, living with his father on his father's ranch and being very much engaged with the Latino Mexican community down there during a time when lynchings were going on here in 1920-21. The Tulsa riots and all that was going on here while he was in Mexico there. So learning about that history and playing that out on the stage and coming to realize that we've had these positive opportunities in our histories to work together. Comes around.
Yeah, I would love to see you guys do some of those plays, bring some of those plays back so the community could see them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Lynn, let's take a short break and hear some community voices and our community calendar, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about your solo play, Waits.
Great.
Okay.
This is the community calendar for the month of August. Tomorrow, Tuesday, August the 27th, at 7 p.m. Drama Stage Cool Run Nasana Play Reading Series present Filthy Rags, a stage play written and directed by Daryl Phillips. Special musical guests will be Shantae Duncan and Willis Boyd of Positive Light. Mixer and Music begins at 7 p.m. and the play reading begins at 8 p.m. This is a free event. There's also free parking and all are invited to attend. The location of the Vortex is 2341 East Olympic Boulevard. This is near the corner of Santa Fe and Olympic. For more information on this event, please call 213-479-1764. Upcoming guests on the Cool Run Report, Monday, September the 2nd, will be Shantae Duncan and Willis Boyd of Positive Light Ministry. And these are two great musicians. You're going to really enjoy this Monday, September 2nd, that's coming up. And this is a special announcement. Sunday, September the 8th, the George Regas Courageous Peacemaker Award. The reception begins at 5 p.m. The program is at 7 p.m. The location is the Agape International Spiritual Center, 5700 Buckingham Parkway, Culver City, 90230. For more information on this event, please call 213-748-1643. And this is a new show that's going to be airing on the Skid Row Studios on Sunday, September the 15th at 6 p.m. Judith Bowman and Eric Vollmer will debut their new show, which is entitled Spotlights on Book. And more information will be forthcoming on this new show. If you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com. Attention, Earlene Anthony. Do I have a caller on the line? Do I have Nancy? Hi, Nancy. Oh.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well.
Tell us a little about the Spirited Woman and briefly about the event that you have coming up and also your contact information.
Well, Spirited Woman began 13 years ago with the Women's Empowerment Community, and it keeps on growing, growing, growing. You've been involved with us for years.
Right.
About a year and a half ago, I began something which is called the Sisterhood of the Sacred Scarf.
Oh, yes.
Which combines scarf with ceremony. And we decided to create a Spirited Woman prayer scarf so that the women around the world could have something to connect each other with. And we are now on our seventh Spirited Woman prayer scarf. It's called Spirit. Uh-huh. We have sold more than 700 scarves around the world, and hundreds of women have been involved in this project. And on this Thursday night, uh-huh. we are having our scarf ritual via the phone with a healer by the name of Dakara Keys and myself. And it's a wonderful opportunity to connect with women from around the world. It's all virtual. Uh-huh. And through the Sisterhood of the Sacred Scarves, I've been able to start the Spirited Woman Foundation, which helps heal and support women through actions of empowerment. And we've given funds to organizations in different states. And that's it. It's a very exciting project. Our goal is to raise thousands of dollars for our foundation. Mm-hmm. And Spirited Woman donates a portion of each scarf into our foundation. So that's how it works.
Give us your contact information.
The contact is go to thespiritedwoman.com. You put in a T-H-E in there, so it's thespiritedwoman.com. You'll be able to read about everything, and you're more than welcome to email me. My email address is on the site, and call me. My telephone number is on the site, but I can give it. It's 805-698-3555. So that's it.
Okay, much success on your event. And thank you, Nancy, for your call in.
You're more than welcome.
Thanks for having me. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. And a reminder, the call-in number for the show is 800-893-9562. Now, back to our host.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Earlene Anthony. Quickly, this morning, August the 26th, 2013, downtown in the Skid Row area, some students from California Lutheran University visit the Skid Row area to hand out some hygiene kits. I had a chance to talk to some of the students.
Amen, brother.
Okay, this is Melvin Ishmael Johnson with the Qumran Report. Who am I speaking with here?
This is Caitlin Wishman.
What, are you getting ready to go to college, right?
Yeah, I am.
What are you majoring in?
I'm going to major in marketing communications and minor in German.
Okay, what do you think about your first time in the Skid Row area?
Yeah, it's nice.
What do you think about down here, what you see so far?
I've never seen anything like this. I'm from Kansas, so it's a new office. Manhattan, Kansas.
Okay. They got a university there, right?
Yeah, Kansas State University.
Yeah. And who am I speaking with here?
Joshua Bartholomew.
Yeah, Joshua. What are you going to be majoring in?
I'm not sure yet, but it's probably something with, like, multimedia arts.
Okay, beautiful. What are your observations down here in the Skid Row area so far?
It looks like East Oakland.
East Oakland. You from Oakland?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, Alameda County.
Yeah.
All right, and who am I speaking with here?
Karen Shoemaker. I'm the coordinator for community service at Cal Lutheran University.
Oh, Cal Lutheran University, okay. What are you majoring in?
I work there.
You're working there? You're the one that...
I do the community service work there.
Yeah, where's your home?
Lynchburg, Virginia.
Okay, isn't that where Reverend...
Jerry Falwell.
Jerry Falwell, okay. The university that's there also. Did you go there?
I did not.
Okay. What are your observation about what's happening down
very
here?
Different from home, but I think there's a lot of good work going on here as well.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. And I'm speaking with
Andrew Alwyn.
Okay. Andrew, what are you going to be majoring in?
I'm majoring in computer science.
Computer science? Mm-hmm. Where's your home?
In Glendale, California.
Glendale, a beautiful place. What are your observations down here?
Oh, well, I've been here a few times before with Boy Scouts, so it looks about the same as when I went a few years ago.
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, and I'm speaking with over here
Marissa Benes.
What are you majoring in?
I have no idea yet.
Where's your home?
I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, you bring a lot of groups from Minnesota, Reverend.
Yeah.
The Twin Cities.
Yeah.
Is the Twins your baseball team?
Yeah.
What are your observations about down here in the Skid Row area?
It's definitely different. I've never seen anything like it before.
Anything like that in Minnesota?
Not quite. We have, like, homeless people and stuff, but it's not like this.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Speaking with who?
Nikki Snook.
What are you majoring in?
In multimedia and graphic design at Cal Lutheran.
Okay. And where's your home?
Simi Valley, California.
Simi Valley. Okay. What are your observations about your first time down here?
Yeah. I live pretty close, but I've never actually been down in this area to see what it's like, but it's interesting to find out, talk to the people and hear their stories and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much. And who am I speaking with here?
Morgan Geyer.
Okay. And what's your major coming up?
I'm doing technical theater and I'm minoring in liberal arts and psychology.
Oh, theater. You're going to be behind the scene. I love that. Like stagecraft, lighting, sound, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just got through working with the aerobic production of Bronzeville, stage managing over there.
Yeah, I want to be a stage manager and go on tour with it. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. What are your observations about what's happening down here?
Well, I've been down here before to drop off clothes, but it's kind of sad to see it hasn't really changed.
Yeah. Okay, then. Thank you very much. This is Melvin Ishmael Johnson with the Qumran Report, talking to these young students down here, getting ready to hand out some hygiene kits. Okay, a special thanks to Pastor Bryant and the students from Cal Lutheran University. We're back in the studio with Lynn Manning. Lynn, can you tell our listening audience about your award-winning play, Waits?
Yes. Well, yeah, Waits is an autobiographical solo piece that I started putting together back in the late 90s, piece by piece, you know, one story at a time. What I do is I take the audience back to the day that I was shot and blinded, and I start, you know, with that the beginning of that day and take them through the whole incident, and then take them from that point back in time to my childhood in South Central and tell the story of really how growing up in the poverty and the conditions that I experienced as a young child, how growing up and coming through that prepared me to be able to come through the loss of my sight. And then I bring the audience out of that experience and take them forward into the discoveries of that I made and observations I made as a blind person, and how I found a new community and a new destination or a new destiny and a new vision. And I take them through that. So it's a roller coaster ride emotionally, but it ends on a very uplifting note. It's won awards here in the States. You mentioned most prominently, NAACP local theater award here, three of those, and I won a excellence in theater award in the 2008 Edinburgh Festival, which they give four of those, and there are some hundreds of plays going on. So I felt really, you know, recognized there as well. But I've performed the piece all over the country. I did an off-Broadway run that was very well received. It's been well reviewed, and I performed it from Toronto to Croatia to the Adelaide Fringe Festival in Adelaide, Australia, and the two runs in Edinburgh Festival. I did a UK tour. Mm-hmm. Actually, in 2005, that was quite successful, and it continues to butter my bread.
When can we look forward to seeing it here again in Los Angeles?
Well, I will be doing a one-time special performance of Waits as a perk for a fundraising event that Watts Village Theater Company is about to launch next month, so people can like us on Facebook or go to our website, wattsvillagetheatercompany.com, check back, because the announcement's not up there yet for this fundraising event and what you have to give to get tickets to this special performance of Waits. Mm-hmm. That performance will take place in November. And I guess since I'm speaking about the fundraiser, I just should speak about the production that's for, because that's our upcoming production, is a play called Riot Rebellion. Ooh. And it's centered around the experiences of the people who were alive at the time of the 1965 Watts riot. And it is drawn from direct interviews with those people, one of whom was me. I was 10 years old at the time, and it spins out into a very dynamic and exciting examination. And when I say examination, it's not in a real clinical sense. I'm speaking. The play itself looks at all aspects of the event in a very theatrical and exciting way, and it's an opportunity to really archive the individual, personal, community truths that exist around that event before that event fades from history and just becomes a blip mm-hmm. on the page of some history books. A lot of the people in the community today have no knowledge of the fact that this very significant civil unrest occurred back in 1965. And
is it in production now? In rehearsal?
It will start rehearsal in September. Mm-hmm. I believe September 21st, we will be announcing casting, putting out the casting, the audition calls in another week or two.
And who is the director?
The director is Barbara Roberts. Mm-hmm. She's a fixture here in Los Angeles. She was for quite a while the chair of the Actors Equity Association EEO mm-hmm. committee. She just this past weekend directed a stage reading of Sassy Mamas mm-hmm. in Leimert Park.
Yeah, for the festival.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she's the director. The playwright is Donald Jolly, a young playwright who's making some noise, who's won an award or two mm-hmm. in the past, and he was commissioned to do this piece, So rehearsals start in September. The play will open on its preview performance will be the 1st of November. And it'll run until the 24th of November.
And where would it?
We're going to mount this one at the Mafundi Auditorium in Watts. That's actually the Mafundi Auditorium was founded as a direct result of, or as a direct outgrowth of the 1965 riots. Mm-hmm. It was a gathering, a public gathering place, an auditorium where performances and like right on 103rd and Wilmington.
Yeah. We're looking forward to it. We got about 2 minutes mm-hmm. to go. Can you give us your contact information again for those that want to get in contact, especially about the play mm-hmm. coming up?
Right. The website is Watts Village Theater Company. That's theater spelled E-R, not R-E, .org. Watts Village Theater Company .org, spelled out. I'll spell it. WATTSVILLAGETHEATERCOMPANY.org. And you can contact us through that. You can donate through that site. You can also link to our Facebook and like us on Facebook, and you'll be able to track us and follow what's going on, and also engage in the fundraiser when that officially happens.
Okay, thank you very much, Lynn Manning, Artistic Director of the Watts Village Theater Company.
Thank you so much, mm-hmm. Melvin, for having me. It's been a joy.
It's been a pleasure. Now, next week on the Coon Round Report, we will have Willis and Shante of Positive Light Ministry, who just performed yesterday at the NAACP Awards with an excellent 10-minute play called Kiara in Wendell. Now, I would like to extend a special thanks to Lynn Manning, on the line with Daryl Phillips and Nancy Mills, my co-host Earlene Anthony. Please listen to past shows of the Qumran Reports on iTunes, Facebook, Stitcher, and skitrow.la. Thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report. And from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. And I leave you with Dr. Martin Luther King talking about being proud of who you are.
Somebody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you're too arrogant. If you don't change your ways, I will rise up and break the backbone of your power, and I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name. Be still and know that I'm God. The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home. Though the civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration, that's their business. But I'm afraid that I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.